You're very welcome back to the last hour of the show. We're joined in studio now by John, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's ahead of an AA convention in Ballybuffet this weekend. Runs the 11th to the 13th of October. And John is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you
so much for joining us. And I think you wanted to sort of start with how meetings start.
Yes.
So set it up for us. What is this that you're going to read to me?
What this is, John, or Greg, this is the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it'll be read out at every meeting, at the start of every meeting. So I'll just read it out. My name's John, and I'm a recovered alcoholic, and Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help all our alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So that would be read out at the front or at the start of every meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous worldwide.
How long have you been off drink? How do you describe it? Do you describe it being alcohol free, sober, in recovery? It's up to each individual.
Yeah, it's really up to each individual. Greg, I would describe myself as a recovered alcoholic, and other people recovering and alcoholic. It doesn't matter, as long as you find the program of recovery and apply it into our lives. And that's exactly what Alcoholics Anonymous has enabled me to do.
Yeah, it's been a big part of your adult life. I mean, you were 32 when you started sobriety.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Greg. Yeah. And
had you been drinking for a long time before then?
Yeah, I had been drinking from what would have been 15.
Yeah.
And what I started to realise that I was having serious problems with alcohol at a very young age.
How did that manifest itself with you? Was it the amount you drink? Was it your behaviour? Was it...
Well, whole combination of all that. The amount that I drank, I would have drank more than my friends. I would have been sneaking drinks, gulping drinks, and drinking more days. I started to find that I was getting into problems with alcohol, work-wise, losing jobs. And then...
You were 17 years drinking, right? There or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Did you know throughout those 17 years that your drinking was a problem? Or were you in denial?
No,
denial can be a big thing.
Denial would be the big problem in an alcoholic, Greg. I would have been in total denial. And what I would try to do is try and enjoy and control my drinking. Every time that I would have got into difficulties and problems, the next time that I went out to drink, it would have been different this time.
Mm.
But each time it'd get worse.
And it affects family relationships.
It affects
relationships with other people.
Yeah, it affected family relationships with my own home, my father, and then getting into a marriage and breakup of a marriage, loss of a marriage, and all that type of stuff. Yeah.
And I know you're happy enough talking about it, but I'm not going to dig too deep. But did people try and intervene?
Yeah. Everybody would have been trying to intervene and.
So if you're a problem drinker, right, and say it's your brother or sister or whoever, they say to you, look, John, you know, you're drinking too much. This is damaging your health. This is damaging your relationship. We don't really want to be around you like we might have in the past, or whatever might have been said. What does an alcoholic hear when that's said to them?
Well, they hear that they're being challenged about their drinking and then they get alienated from their families and friends. They start to withdraw from their... I would start to withdraw from my family and friends.
To avoid those types of conversations?
They avoid that conversation because all I want to do is have a couple of drinks and just enjoy myself. But I realised when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous that it was always the first drink that set off this craving in my body, and that's what led me to drink more than normal people.
And... Some people drink because they have one big session, then they have a hangover, and then they drink again to get rid of the hangover, and then they drink again to get rid of the hangover until such time as the body can't do it anymore.
That's exactly. That would have been the way that it would have been in my life, and you would have drank early morning drinks to the hair of the dog, as they say, to overcome, and that's the way, the pattern that you would have been on.
And that would be in the house, would it? You'd have drink in the house?
I'd have drink in the house, Drink of early morning drinks, that would have been old pattern for me.
Just like a leveller.
Yeah.
And At what point then did, well, we know at what point, but, you know, you're 17 years into this, you know it's had impact on your romantic life, your work life, your family life, but you tolerated all of that for 17 years. You found a way to be with the drink, effectively. Was there a particular thing, and it's the obvious question, and everyone asks the same question, I'm going to ask the same question, what happened? Why did you say, right, I can't live my life like this any longer?
Well, I think every alcoholic in their lives, they have to reach a point, and the point, you know, they talk about it, rock bottom. And I would have reached my rock bottom, it would have been on a New Year's morning,
mm-hmm.
where the family...
I'll just move this a little bit closer to you, so I can hear you.
It would have been on a New Year's morning,
yeah.
with all the family had gone and you're left on your own and you're realising alcohol sitting on my kitchen table. It's either keep on drinking or everything's going in my life. And I reached out and phoned Alcoholics Anonymous.
Did you announce to those around you that I'm packing in a drink or I'm seeking help for my alcoholism? Like, had you... I'm just curious if... Up until that point, did you speak to people who spoke to you as if you were an alcoholic? In other words, or does that make sense? If you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
There would have been various people in my life that I would have been in contact over the years, and they were the people that I would have been able to reach out to.
Yeah,
and that's something that's very, very prominent in an Alcoholics Anonymous, that you have somebody that you can reach out to, and then if anybody that is having difficulty with their drinking, they can phone Alcoholics Anonymous and people will come out to their home at their request and they'll sit and they'll share their experience, strength and hope with them, and they'll give them a bit of hope that there's an answer, there's a way out. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous had done in my life.
Yeah, you obviously would have employed the 12-step program.
Yes, yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Well,
we can't go through all 12.
Suppose the most important step would be the first step of the 12 steps, is that we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. And that's exactly what
happened. Is that tough?
And it has to be. I would say, Greg, it would be the hardest thing that I have done in my life, to admit complete defeat as far as alcohol is concerned. Mm-hmm. And from admitting that complete defeat, that's where I started to move under the program mm-hmm. of recovery.
And how does it help you avoid saying, stuff this, you know, I'm going for a pint, and then everything crumbles from there?
Yeah, I have a better life. If I was to come into Alcoholics Anonymous and didn't have a better life, I would probably say, stuff this.
Yeah, so early on in the process, I don't mean now, by the way, John, I'm on about early on in the process, right? Because I would say a lot of people begin and fall back. And as long as you come back, that's the key thing here, right? But like, how far into this process did you say, you know what, this is actually going to improve my life, I'm going to be better for this? Does that happen early on?
Yeah, that would happen very early on. It did happen very early on in my life, when you're waking up and you're sober and you're clean, and life's beginning to take on a better meaning,
uh-huh.
and you're not full of guilt and shame and remorse and regret, the whole things that come with living that type of life.
But over the 17 years, right, so your relationships break down or become distant or what have you, and I presume you form other relationships, with the commonality being drink.
Yeah.
Right, so how hard is it to sort of, you know, not see the same people that you might have seen in the pub, you know, no longer go into watch a football match in a pub? I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that stuff's gone.
Yeah.
Do you almost start immediately rehabilitating with those around you? And is that part of the process as well, that you come back and you say, look, whatever's happened, this is me now?
Yeah, that's exactly what did happen in my life, Greg. I would have found a new set of friends, new people, excuse me, I couldn't go back. I used to go, when I was off drink before, I used to go back to the pub and associate with my old friends. But I found a new set of friends and a new way of life, and I discovered that I could go and play golf, learn to play golf. I could go to the bowling alley. I could go to the cinemas. I could go to a restaurant, and I could do all these things. And I could go to a football match without having the need to take a drink.
Yeah.
And not only that, I realised that I could do them, but I could really enjoy them, them things.
And be present at them.
And be present at them, because I used to go to football matches with a load of drink and never remember. You know, so that would have been...
And is there anything particularly that you want to mention about it? Because I want to hear from your experience. I know you've took a couple of notes, and maybe we've touched on them, maybe we haven't. What is important that you want to get out today
Well, the thing that's important that we're trying to do here today is to let the public know that we're holding a convention on Jackson's Hotel on the Friday the 11th to Sunday the 13th, and the Friday at 8 p.m. there's an open meeting, and it's open to the public, and we're letting the public know, and people can come on. Anybody that has any problems with alcohol, or if their family members have any problems with alcohol, they can come on. It's Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not invisible, as they say, and it's very important. And that's so the Friday is an open meeting at 8 o'clock in Jackson's Hotel, Bally Buffet. Saturday is another meeting. It's a public or an PA open information meeting. You'll have members of the medical profession there as well. That's at 6 o'clock. And then the closing meeting, it'll be on Sunday at 12 noon. And that's an open meeting as well. And again, members of the public can come to that.
And I think what's important with someone like yourself, John, in us going through your experience is it's relatable, right? And we hope that, and it does happen, it's not measurable, but it does happen that someone is listening to us today. They've probably woke up, massive anxiety, hangover, never again, but they will perhaps by this afternoon, that they might want to change their life, and they might want to admit that alcohol is controlling and ruining their life. And that's why it's important to hear of positive stories like yours. You know, really early on, you were able to continue to enjoy life, enjoy the things that you like to do, go and watch the football, go bowling, have a game of golf. Why you do that to yourself, I don't know. But anyway, do you know what I mean? Because I think, and it's a little bit like smoking as well. You think there's no life after it. Yeah. There's no life after booze. There's no life after smoking. How could I enjoy my morning coffee without a ciggy? How could I enjoy a meal without a ciggy? How could I get stressed? And do you know, we do this stuff, don't we?
That's the very important thing about it, is that's you think after alcohol there's going to be no life.
There's no life, sure. And everything I did and enjoyed was through booze. Yeah. Yes, it got a bit messy.
And then when we go one day a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're sitting on a meeting with like-minded people.
But what is that like? Because I think there are people who would go, yeah, I would do it if it was one-on-one, right? But it works because it's a group of people. Yeah. What is it like in that environment when you first went in, if you can cast your mind back, John? Does it feel welcoming? Is it a relief? Is it like, wow, these people get me, they understand me, so it's easier? Because again, we put barriers in our way to stop us doing things our brain does, to stop us doing things our brain doesn't want us to do. The brain wants booze, right? Yeah. So it's going to say you can't go to a public meeting. What was it like walking into that meeting?
Well, the first meetings that I went to in Alcoholics Anonymous were very welcoming.
Yeah.
And people put their hand out and it's good to see you.
Yeah.
And then when I left that meeting, they says to me, keep coming back.
Right.
They weren't telling me that when I was drinking.
No.
So, no, but it would be a very welcoming environment. And one of the things that they do say, Greg, is the new person is the most important person in the room that particular night, because that's what people are trying to do, is just welcome the new person. And one of the most important things, I think, in that is the whole concept of anonymity.
Yes.
No, and we use just our first names at the meetings, and the new person that's coming in, we don't ask them where they're from, what they've done, what their second name is. That's none of our business. The only thing that is our business is if they want to get sober, we're here to try and help.
I think there's a psychology to that as well, because it almost detaches them from the person that's the alcoholic in a way, whilst they sort of... whilst they become more comfortable. So it's in Jackson's Hotel, 11th, 12th and 13th. Is there anything else, John, that you want to mention? You can go to alcoholicsanonymous.ie, by the way, for support and guidance and advice of what's coming up and where it's happening. But anything else that you want to mention?
Yeah, well, what I could say to you, Greg, is if anybody that has any problems with alcohol, and they can phone that with an office in Dublin, and they'll be able to contact. When you phone the office in Dublin, they'll return the call. they'll ask you, would you want somebody to come to the house and visit you? If you request that somebody to come to the house, they'll come out and two people will come out. If it's a female, you'll have a male and a female, or two females. If it's a male, you might have two males. Yeah. But it's just what they'll do, Greg, is they'll not put you under any pressure. What they'll do is they'll just share their experience and let you know what happened in their lives and how they got into recovery.
Yeah, okay. All right, so listen, it's been very nice speaking to you. Go ahead, just
to let you know that there is 25 groups within the Donegal area.
Yeah.
Local groups, multiple meetings. And anybody that's coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, they can find a meeting in the Donegal area at most mornings.
And I know people who've gone to these meetings, given up booze, been friends for life with the people that were there, and go and do lots of fun stuff with them.
Yeah,
so there is that.
Well, there definitely is a life after alcohol, and not only is it a life, but it's unbelievably better.
So, what is the advice to you for people with a loved one or someone close to them who's an alcoholic? You want to be there for when they reach out to you, I presume, but at the same time you maybe have to protect your own well-being and that of your family or whatever it might be. This is off the back of a text coming in, by the way, I'm asking this. What advice do you give to the loved one of an alcoholic?
Well, the only thing that I could say to the loved one of an alcoholic is they keep trying. Bring the alcoholic to their senses, and what they can do. We've got a book, and it's called Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's the first 100 alcoholics that got sober in the early part of the 1930s, and there's different stories there. That's all been updated over the years, and there's personal stories on there that people can read. And they can find out exactly what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about.
All right, me and you now are going to speak directly to someone who's listening to the show. And they text in, say, listening to your show, I'm that man. I would like to get help. Simple, they can get help.
Yeah,
Just to speak to that person directly, I think now at this point, you've probably overcome one of the largest hurdles, that you believe that you need help. Now, you're in the position whereby there is an organisation, an association, and groups of other men or women, all men and women or a mixture of them, that are there with a tried and tested system that will be there to back you up, to help you live your life after booze, to rebuild any relationships that have been fallen down. All that help is there. And it's people like this person, the exact same as this person, because we often think we're unique, right, that have gone through this and are now living much more happier, enriched lives, better relationships, more money, not waking up with that terrible, terrible dread. Anything you want to say to this person listening?
Well, what I could say to the person is he's not alone. There's help. And that would have been one of the things that I would have found when I first come to Alcoholics Anonymous, when I first reached out and made that phone call. That was the most important phone call that I made in my life. And people were there at that other end of the phone call. Their hands were out. They reached out and they says, we're here to help. And that's exactly what I got in Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. I got the help and understanding from people that went through the same experience that I went through.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure I get this number for this listener. 01-842-0700. That is the number. Is that correct number, John?
For Alcoholics Anonymous, yeah.
Yeah, that's the
and
correct
that'll number. Be, you'll be able to be put through and with an office in Dublin if they speak to someone, and what they'll do is they'll redirect here to Donegal. Mm-hmm. Somebody from Donegal, if they give their number, they'll phone them, and then if they wish, they have two people, they come out, they speak to them, they can arrange that. And if they feel that they want to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, they can certainly do that as well.
All right, well, we back this person 100%. I think they've taken the biggest step. 01-842-0700. That number potentially is the number to unlock the rest of your life, a happy, content life after booze. John, thanks for your time today.
You're very welcome,
really
Craig.
Appreciate it. And just to remind people, on just Friday night, 8 p.m. open meeting, isn't that right? Friday.
Yeah, Friday night at 8 p.m. Jackson's Hotel. That's the opening meeting. There'll be two alcoholics speaking and a member of Al-Anon. And then Saturday, open meeting at 6 o'clock. They'll have a medical person along with alcoholics. And then the closing meeting, it'll be on Sunday at 12 p.m. And just to remind the people that the anonymity is the most important thing.
It's critical.
Of the fellas.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, take care of yourself. That's John there. Thanks again to John for calling in. Any advice for the young generation that are considering starting drink, especially now as the results of the junior cert come out today regarding drinking? Well, listen, leave it till you're 18 is a good piece of advice. And I suppose we as parents are the ones that have to ensure that they do as best as possible. And listen, good luck, by the way, to all of you out there getting your junior cert results. It's a big day. It's sort of like the first biggie from a school perspective, isn't it? Well, they all feel like the first biggie. It can be going into sixth class or into first class, first year or whatever. But anyway, I hope you got good results. But even if you didn't, you've got years to focus on. You've got years to focus on getting what you want. Just to let you know, Greg, there is an Al-Anon participation at the convention in Jackson's Hotel on Saturday 12th for the family members and friends affected by a dear one's addiction to alcohol. Thank you for that. I appreciate the heads up. People should really know at this stage that big corporations with the government backing will always make decisions to suit their business rather than the interests of the people. Just look what they do to the earth, fracking, mining, industrial scale poisoning of soil and sea from chemicals. But if you or I light a fire, God forbid, they'll do all in the power to shut it down. What's the planning application number? As I can't find it on the Donegal Council website, that's in relation to the battery farm. We'll have a look at that. Hi, the Buncrana battery plant will not only have an impact on the locals, but also people living across the Swilly who will see it. Greg, I missed the welfare increases that you gave out yesterday. Could you repeat them today again, please? And thank you. I will try and track down that article. I don't have them on the top of my head, unfortunately. Good morning, Greg. Simon Harris told these families that no child would have to wait more than 4 months. This is for the back treatment. Yet he's now leader and wants to send them abroad. What's going on? In the Buncrana River, fishermen never left their boats there because of the sulfites in the water. The sulfites ate the copper, nails, and rotted the wood. This has been known for 50 or 60 years. Everyone knew that the water would erode the boats. If the fishermen knew, why did nobody else test the water? Not 100% sure what that's relating to. Good morning, Greg. In relation to the Donegal to Dublin flight in question, only a week ago, Donal was in conversation with the manager of City of Derry Airport, and they talked about having the Derry to Dublin flight started again like it used to be. Thanks, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie, for that. Yeah, indeed. And there's always aspirations for Derry to Dublin and Dublin to Derry to be re-established. I think the Donegal to Dublin flight is of particular importance for the reasons we've been outlining. 430 cancer patients use it to get to and from their appointments, and for younger patients as well, and for onward appointments where treatment's not available in this country, not to mention their support structure, the carers and family members. It's incredibly significant, and I think it needs to be decoupled and not politicised, because airlines want more capacity at Dublin Airport to make more money in the summer and winter. Greg, considering we have no railway in Dunanal, they didn't mention to stop the one in Kerry who have a railway. We need a United Ireland soon to connect a railway via Belfast to Dublin. A caller says, I have a lot of sympathy for homeowners in regards to defective blocks. Government are putting forward a substantial package with the 10% increase, bringing it up to 460k. Builders should look at their pricing. It's a crisis in Donegal. Obviously, builders need to make money, but not the Donegal people off long road without a turn. Again, but that doesn't mean 460k is given to every homeowner to build their house. They are given an allocation per square metre, and that falls far short often of A, the cap, and B, what it would cost to rebuild the house, they would say. People are getting a figure to rebuild per square metre, but this figure also has to be used to pay for rent, for accommodation, storage, demolition, disposal, disconnect and reconnect of services, etc. If you're getting this figure to start a greenfield site, it might stretch to complete a house, but it certainly doesn't cover a DCB rebuild 100%. another couple before we catch up on a break and then have Chris in for business matters. Let's not worry about people's homes falling down on top of them. Why not spend $2 billion on sending an Irish astronaut into space? Oh, they've already thought of that, says a listener. I know that the people in charge of spending our money, says another, they don't run a gotcha culture and won't hold anyone accountable. Well, maybe it's time that we who pay the money and pay their wages start demanding heads roll. If it was any other people in any other job, we would be sacked. Apparently, T.G. Carr down at the old oak tree in Ballyrain, the 90-year-old oak tree, they must be doing a story on it, so it might make the telly later. Am I the only one who's noticed a huge increase in traffic in Letterkenny in and out of the town, regardless of the time of day? This is a very worrying situation. And what is being done to help the traffic? Are we getting an extra local bus link to encourage us more to use local transport and less vehicles on the road? I think Letterkenny has got busier all different times of the day. Interested, though, in the general public's point of view, of course, 08660 25000. It is just seemingly busier. I don't know what's causing it. Are buses the answer? There are proposals and plans for a town bus service, an upgraded town bus service, and local link are expanding services in from sort of the north of northeast of the county and northwest of the county into Letterkenny. Will that mean people will leave their cars at home and get on the bus? That remains to be seen.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Right, Wednesday morning, around about this time, and that jingle, it means it is a welcome to Chris Ashmore, presenter of Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
And starting on a positive note, hashtag love Donegal. A huge success again, bigger than last year, in fact.
Absolutely. Some quite startling figures.
Don't be startled.
Well, the global audience last year was an estimated 85 million across all the social media platforms. And that record's been beaten this year. A global reach of 90 million on the day itself. And over 140 million between the 25th and the 29th of September. That's according to figures that have been released by Donegal County Council. So it just shows, you know, people are going out, sharing the hashtag.
Everyone out there played their part if they did share the hashtag love Donegal. And it's like our little conversation we had with Neffy Maguire a little earlier on. I'm not sure if you were privy to it. Any exposure like that, it helps. Now, how much does it help? We don't know. But next year we might feel it in terms of footfall and what have you. And plans are well advanced and afoot this year to promote our county, our beautiful region, for the autumn winter.
Yes, now a big campaign on, and there's a video some people may have seen on social media platforms. It's a great advertisement, really, for Donegal, showing some of the top attractions. It features Eric Roberts, and a really nice little video clip. And already, now it was only launched last week, Greg, over 2 million views over the weekend. So very encouraging there. And as you say, you know, it is difficult to measure the success of these things. But if 2 million people have seen it, there has to be a spin-off, and it's all about encouraging people to come here, you know, particularly off-season.
And you can play with figures a little bit in terms of video views, but we were chatting to Mary Daly yesterday, and she pointed out that the stats show I think the video's about a minute and 40 or something, but people are staying to the end of it because they're entertained, right? So you have to entertain people. You can't just, you know, it'll autoplay on Facebook, and that can count as a view. The real meat is how long people watch, and people are watching that video to the end. So well done to
short
all involved.
And snappy and moving quickly, so, you know.
Right, Leo Grants.
Yeah, just interesting to note, we hear a lot about the various grants and programs that the local enterprise office is offering. And so far this year, now this is up to the end of August, 43 businesses were approved for the trading online voucher. So that's a big help to businesses to maybe launch a website or update their website. Mentoring, 296 businesses got approved for up to 12 hours of expert mentoring there. So programs like that, very helpful to so many small businesses.
Sure. And again, talking about the impact it might have. I'm sure you've mentioned it a couple of times through the podcast. I'm sure there are a number of businesses are benefiting to the tune of over 2,000 euro, having heard you plug them on this item as well. There's just no doubt about that. Any updates on the vacant property refurbishment grant scheme? I know we love it up here.
Yeah. Now, this was launched back as far as, I didn't realise it was so far back, July 2022, but the applications in Donegal, 927 received, so not insignificant. 614 have been finalised, 588 have been approved, and at the moment there's about 280 applications that are at some stage of technical inspection or awaiting more information, but it is moving along, and that will certainly help restore vacant properties, derelict properties.
It's a very interesting scheme. We've talked about it. Firstly, I wish I had an old property could do this with, because it might be the only way to accumulate any wealth at all. But I know that's not what people are doing it for. But there's two things that jump out at me. Firstly, just do it in stage payments, because you could probably triple that figure. People can't front load the 70 or 80 grand. Do it in stage payments and you'll have a much greater uptake. I'm not sure what the plans are in that regard. But secondly, and this is the key thing, when these are commenced and completed, they go into the government's commencement and completed housing statistics.
Figures, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're delivering units of property that are guaranteed over 10 years to be either long-term living in or long-term rental for 80K.
Yeah.
I mean, that is some return on government.
That's value for money there, yeah.
And it reflects in the stats.
And in a lot of the towns and villages where it's happening, it's going to bring new life into these areas. And
oh, yeah.
We have a lot of towns and villages with a lot of vacant property above the retail units and bring people back in.
Yeah. In a lot of places, because they're the life and soul of an era. Winter maintenance, not long before we start hearing the first gritter.
Well, I thought I'd just throw this in. It's next Monday. That's the start of the winter maintenance season. So that affects BU, a business, or anybody out there. The roads will be ready for gritting when called upon. The usual winter gritting map will be out there. And on a not unrelated matter, public lighting, there's a new contractor for that for Donegal County Council, and there's a new number, 1-800-150-150, if you have a problem with the lighting. That's
there's a very useful website as well, whereby you can go in. It uses Google Satellite. You can actually go in and mark the lights, the public lights in your area, that A, this company has responsibility for, but B, not everyone has the number or whatever, and you can register online as well too, which I think is a great system. And I would advise anyone who, they took the contract last 1st of October, right?
Yep.
If you reported a light out before that, report it again. That's what I would do, certainly.
To be sure.
1-800-150-150.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. What's coming up on the show this week?
A number of guests this week. I've been speaking with Louise Patton, who's the Secretary of the Bellefane Stranorlar Chamber of Commerce. And it last weekend, Greg, had its inaugural business awards night in the Twin Towns, a big occasion and great reaction to it. And we can hear from Louise here.
It was lovely to see that so many people wanted to be there, to be part of it, to get together, to shout the praises of each other. And we did a wall of all the people who were nominated as well. So for me, it wasn't just, as I say, about who won. It was about the finalists. It was about all the people who were mentioned and nominated. And I think we had 1,559 people nominated in total. So that was amazing. And it was lovely to see that, yeah.
Yeah, lovely to see all the great pictures coming from that. It seemed to have been high fashion, no doubt about that at all. Right, who else is on the show?
Also on the show, I've been speaking with Evie Nolan, who is a student in UCD doing business and law, and she's involved in Spree August Sport up in Inishowen. Now, she is the person who's coordinating a project for a new sustainable fashion pop-up shop geared towards young people in Inishowen, and she's really enthused and excited about the whole thing.
The crisis caused by fast fashion demands action, and while big change can feel overwhelming, starting small is key, and that's what we're offering with Shopping Spree, giving young people the chance to shop sustainability, and by choosing to buy locally, you're not only reducing your carbon footprint, but also helping the community. As we know, Ireland is slightly addicted to fast fashion. We consume twice as much clothing as any other country in Europe. And most of the clothes that we actually buy, 3 out of 5 of those end up in landfill. So if we can just eliminate a little bit of that with Shopping Spree, then we really are making a huge impact.
Yeah, and listen, maybe we are addicted to it. I don't think it's necessarily because, you know, it's about the fashion as such. I think a lot of it's about affordability. You know, you go in and get a T-shirt for 3 or 4 quid.
Absolutely.
Or a pair of shorts for a fiver. You know, you can still do that. We need viable alternatives as well. There are lots of people. And there's no shame in it now, which I think is fantastic. In fact, it's people are very proud of reusing quality clothing and getting a bargain and saying, you know, you won't believe what I got this for. I'm sure there'll be a good buy into that.
And just
that,
also
that changing.
On that Spriaga Sport, now they have an outlet in Carndonagh already at the moment that's geared towards clothing, but also they have a shop there that they have refurbished furniture. And when you go on, there's some great bargains to be had there. Some really nice old stuff that's been restored and, again, giving it a new lease of life. And they're also looking at the possibility of launching what's called Siri Tech, which will be for restored technology and devices, and Siri Bicycles for bikes and scooters. So more of it
fair
coming.
Fair play to them.
Yeah.
We don't have a clip, but you're also speaking to Tony Delaney.
Yeah, now Tony Delaney of SYS Finances has been telling me about now the new auto enrollment pension scheme. We're going to hear an awful lot about this. It's due to come in next September. It's going to affect employers and hundreds of thousands of employees. Essentially, if you're in the private sector, you're going to pay a small percentage. The employer is going to pay a small percentage. The government are also involved. It'll build towards a long-term pension. And of note also, Tata Consultancy Services here in Letterkenny, they are providing the administration services to the new National Automatic Enrolment Retirement Savings Authority. Bit of a mouthful. And the contract, over 15 years, worth an estimated €150 million. So a significant contract, and that's good for employment here in the Northwest.
All right, and you mentioned it last week, but a reminder, there's an event coming up in Loch Hess Castle this Thursday, is that
right? National Women's Enterprise Day is on Thursday, the 17th of October, Thursday week, so a big event there, and you'll find details on the local enterprise office Facebook page, or contact them for more details about that.
Course.
Number
all
of
right.
big speakers coming to that.
You can hear more from Chris's guests on this week's Business Matters podcast right now by going to our website in the listen back section or on demand section. It's there for you to listen at your leisure. You can download it and listen to it when you're walking or whatever you want to do with it after that. All the back episodes are there as well. A great resource for people interested in business or interested in starting a business or maybe improving their own business. And Chris, if anyone wants to listen on the radio, it's after 6 on Sunday. And if they wish to contact you, what's the crack?
The best way is by email. So it's businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Yeah, yes, very advanced on email. It's amazing. You were one of the early adopters, I think.
Actually, quick story. I remember going in the Mount Errigal Hotel to an information evening being hosted by, it would have been the AIR's predecessor, so it might have been Telecom Éireann or whatever, Aircom it was. And there were people there from all walks of life. And I remember somebody who sadly is no longer with us, asked a question to one of the representatives from AIR, and his words were, "Do you think this email thing will catch on?" Well, here we are now.
Everyone's on email.
Everyone. Yeah.
All right then, Chris, listen, thank you very much indeed. What was the answer?
He said, "This is going to change our lives," and it certainly has.
I actually don't use email that much. I use it for work, but it's not my preferred form of communication.
But you're of an age, you remember the connecting and waiting to get, if you were sending a photograph to somebody and it was taking ages to go through.
And there was this thing, it was from an Irish company. It was like a, It was a program that you downloaded onto the computer, and it reduced the size of all their files so that it would move quicker.
Yeah.
And it, like, instead of taking 5 minutes to upload a picture, it took four, and it was like, wow, oh my word, this is just amazing.
Earth-shattering technology.
Oh, crazy stuff. All right, Chris, thanks very much indeed. Chat to you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Fresh and breezy today with sunny spells and occasional showers. The best of the sunshine expected afternoon and early evening. Maximum temperatures 10 to 13 degrees. Tonight's going to be calm and cold. Not so, though, for the people of Florida. John Sweeney's Emeritus Professor at Maynooth University and has been kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning to you, John. Sorry, John, you're muted there, if you don't mind. Just you're muted.
Sorry, Greg. Perfect, good morning, John.
Thank you so very much indeed. Now, anyone with an interest in weather is watching this incredibly closely. This storm, this hurricane, Hurricane Milton, is like nothing that's been seen for, in some cases, 100 years in this particular area.
Yes, it's quite an unusual hurricane. It's shaping up to be probably the most destructive storm on record in that part of Florida. It's unusual in that it formed originally way off to the west, just off the coast of Mexico, and then took an easterly trajectory, which doesn't often happen with hurricanes in that region. And of course, that's been helped by the extremely warm water in the Gulf of Mexico at the moment. It's the hurricane formed in waters which were at 30 degrees centigrade, which is kind of unthinkable for us here in Ireland. But since then, it has strengthened considerably. It has reached category 5 on the hurricane scale, which is probably which is the most destructive value on that scale. People expected it to weaken a little as it approached Florida, but in fact it has strengthened again most recently and is expected to hit overnight in Florida, round about Tampa, which is a city of about 400,000 people, but a bay area of about 5.5 million people. So what we're seeing there are evacuation instructions for 5.5 million people. And if you think of what that would mean in Ireland, it's the same population as Ireland, telling people to get out and get shelter. You can imagine the kind of chaos it's going to cause on the roads, the kind of problems it's going to bring. And a lot of these problems with this particular hurricane, which is, it's going to bring storm surges of between 3 and 4 meters onto the coast. That really does overwhelm.
And I think that the authorities are really trying to emphasize that. I heard one saying, the way this will be, if you stay, you will find yourself pushed to the ceiling by the water with your fridge and your microwave. They're trying to emphasize that this is not water that you can stand in. This is very high water and also very, very destructive winds. And they really want to emphasize that, because for some, maybe the penny isn't dropping.
It's not. And the wind, of course, is about 250 kilometres per hour. If you think of anyone in the Donegal area who experienced the storm of April 1982, when it got to 124 kilometres per hour, imagine twice that.
Wow.
And you can see the kind of difficulties it's going to cause. And it's also problematical in that it's picking up debris, which has been left behind by Hurricane Helene only last week. I returned from the US only yesterday morning, and I could see on the airwaves there just how much devastation and debris was lying around from Hurricane Helene. And that's going to be projectiles which will cause even more damage as this particular hurricane makes landfall.
And what's interesting about it too, John, is you've already referenced the fact that it's not necessarily behaving like you might expect it to. It weakened, but it strengthened. But also its structure, it's maintained its integrity, you know, the center part of the storm, things that normally might happen in a meteorological sense to break down that funnel and what have you, is not happening. It's maintaining its integrity and massive wind speeds up high as well. And it's going to land as a category, potentially 4-3 hurricane on Florida. These are all things that aren't normally seen.
No, the eye wall has undergone changes in the past 48 hours, which have meant that The size of the hurricane has effectively doubled in area, and that's encompassing virtually the whole of the Florida Peninsula. So it means that the scale of damage is going to be much more extensive than normal. Mm-hmm. So it is a very unusual beast, if you like, one which I think we have to watch very carefully, and one which will bring a great deal of suffering to that area. Okay, we know that Hurricane Helene has to date caused around about 240 deaths in the richest country in the world. Yeah. So we're going to see, I think, major problems emerging over the next 48 hours.
John, thank you
all the way across the peninsula.
I beg your pardon, sorry. John, thank you so very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Have a great day, and we're obviously thinking on anyone in the path of that, and hopefully anyone who can get out of its way, certainly we'll keep you updated on that. We have to go now, though. Have a great Wednesday. Stay tuned.